welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
We have to know that we're living at the end of time. This time, as we know it, is coming to an end. And the Bible tells us that the more we draw near and we see that day drawing near, we have to, again, as Robin alluded to this morning, we've got to examine ourselves constantly. We've got to check, what are we doing? What is our call? Are we fulfilling our purpose? And I just want to speak this morning very briefly about the church. And again, exploding the myths of what church and what local church is, and holding back up to the Word what we are and what we should be as a local church. What does local church look like in the Scripture? And we need to do this regularly, because how many know that it's a good thing to regularly have checks and balances in work, in professional life, and anything we do? There's Carla is a doctor. Carla would have to regularly stay abreast with updates in medicine and thinking. And we have to, in the same way, check ourselves. And when it comes to the church, I think regularly everything that we preach from the platform centers around Jesus Christ, the cross, and his plan for the church. It all comes into that subject. And regularly, and coming into now when we are nearly about to get into our sanctuary, and after the completion of these works and activities surrounding the building here, I think it's good to remind ourselves now of what we are actually meant to be doing as the church, what the church really is. So we regularly check ourselves. I remember one time when I was in Spain on holiday, and there's Tanya and Ryan are just back. Welcome you all back. Great color that you are. I know it was raining there most of the time and sunny here, but when I was in Spain one time, and most of you have probably had this experience, very rarely would I, go out on a lilo and particularly fall asleep. But I must have been doing a lot of swimming and whatever it was. But this time I was tired. And I went out on the lilo and I fell asleep. And, you know, I was on the beach and the people I was with, they were all on the beach there. And I knew exactly where I was. I was relaxing on the lilo. South of Spain, switched off. Oh, yes, holiday mode. We all know what it feels like. And I fell asleep. And I fell asleep only really for a short time. It wasn't a long time. And I'll never forget the shock whenever I then woke up and came back to my senses. Because when I looked back to the beach, to the tiles and to my books and to the people that I was with, I couldn't see them. They were nowhere in sight. I couldn't recognize even where I was. And I realized that I had drifted probably about 2 miles down the beach because of the current. I drifted. And how quickly we can drift away from the mark. And that's the reason why we examine ourselves. We constantly check, okay, regularly, what are we doing? That's why, as Stefan said, pastor is keeping us in that way. And as a church, what does it mean to be a church? Let's again do a check on what that means. The Bible says in Hebrews 2 verse 1 that lest we drift away, pay the more important heed, attention. So therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we, what? Drift away. And I think every one of us drift. You know, no matter who you are, Robin's been in this church for a long time, so has Pastor, or if you are the newest convert, every one of us drift. We all drift. We drift on a daily basis, actually. And it's not long before, even as a church, as a grouping of people, we can find that we've drifted. Another example, again, in the garment making industry. I remember I had to go and do a sales job, and we give sample garments to people to say, look, this is what our factory can produce. And I remember unwrapping this sample garment for a new customer to try. I'd done all the sales pitch, done it all, and then I unwrap and says, and look, and here's an example of our nurse's tunic. And I brought out this tunic, and I am telling you, this tunic was completely unfit for purpose. Its dimensions were all wrong. It was embarrassing. It might have been made of the right materials, but let me tell you, this was not a nurse's tunic. I was embarrassed because I'd just done the whole sales pitch. This is what we are. This is what we can do. And suddenly then I bring it out and no, it's not fit for purpose. And the reason was because whoever was in the factory line that day, they obviously hadn't taken the pattern and measured it against the pattern. And the quality control obviously hadn't done their job right. And the result of that was it had drifted from being a nurse's tunic to a, I won't even describe it, buildings. The Bible talks about the local church. Often in the Bible we see great pictures of the local church. One is the body of Christ, and Paul talks about us being a body and in great detail how we fit together as a body. One of the other great analogies is a building. God uses a physical building to describe what our church, what the church is meant to be. But remember, buildings have blueprints. It's the reason why David Livingstone, sitting in the middle of the congregation there, knows that it's very important to have a blueprint and to constantly check that what's being built is according to the blueprint. Isn't that right, David? And that's why they run around with these documents in their hand. And that's why there's quantity surveyors at the beginning and the architects. That's why there is people that come in called building control and examine officially what is taking place. So if buildings and the church is so much more important than a building, and if buildings have that level of detail attached to them throughout the whole process, how much more should we as a local church? So this is what the local church is. I'm going to turn us to a scripture we all know, and we're just going to break that down word for word, because in this scripture, it's a beautiful illustration. It captures in a snapshot really what we are meant to be as a church, what the church is. You'll all recognize it. It's when Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus, the first mention of the church. And Jesus said what? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is the first mention. And first mention is always important in scripture. Whenever you want to find out what something means, what is its function? If you go to what is the function of the human race? What was God's original intention? Well, if you want to follow the law of first mention, where would you go and read? You would go and read in Genesis chapter 2, 3 onwards, where God first mentions man and Adam. And this is the first mention of the church. And usually at the first mention, the law of first mention is a biblical law of studying the Bible. But usually it's where the most detail about that particular thing is also found. So where you find it first mentioned, God gives us the detail, purpose, function surrounding it. And here we see Jesus says to Peter in this discourse that he was having with him about the rock of revelation that Peter had, which was, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, and on this rock I will build my church. And one of the second parts is what I'm looking at here. I will build my church. Church. And the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. And we've got to know the days that we're living in. I love this. I'm just going to just highlight a few things here very quickly. First word, I. I and my. So we got to know that this is not your church. Bangor Community Church is not pastor's church. It's not what your ideas or my ideas are. It's not what we think church should be. Remember this plumb line, this testing. Perhaps we've been on a lilo for a while as Bangor Community Church. And having started out well, as so many churches do, we're starting to drift slightly. And maybe that is the case. Maybe with some that's not the case. But the point, the first thing is we see who the church belongs to. I and my. This is Jesus building his church, his institution. We have no say in this. He is the one that has determined how church functions and what its purpose is. Not men, not theology, not denominations. not wherever you go in the world and cultures are different. So even if we're in South Africa, how do you say it? South Africa. Even if we're there or we're wherever, if we're in Ghana or the Philippines or in Northern Ireland, the church should still be the same because it's got one owner, Jesus Christ, the Lord and maker of all things. The builder and maker is the Lord. So we've got ownership here. I am my. Make no mistake, this is Jesus. So let's let that be the first challenge. This morning, what is your thought of church and how it should function? Is it your thoughts? Is it tradition that you've grown up in? And this is where we call the traditional church has lost its power. And the Bible says that we become of none effect by the traditions of men, because it becomes just a form and a tradition, and we think we're doing the right thing. We think we're at the right beach, but we're on a lilo and we've been drifting day by day, month by month, century by century. And traditions, we are way off the course of where God wants us to be. It's His church. So we've got ownership. We've got detail in that. And it's not your opinions, my opinions, traditions of men. Second thing we see here, I. The next word is will. I love this word. I love this word, will. Because it's not an if, it's not a but, it's not a maybe. Jesus has made a categoric statement here. He said, I will build my church. It's definitely 100% going to happen. As long as a body of people listen and stay listening to the word and to the Lord, He will build it. He knows how to build His church. He's not a skilled tradesman who knows how to build things skillfully but has his limits. God knows all things and He will build it. All we need to do is line up with Him. All you need to do this morning is, again, check your thinking again. Let's say we're getting ready now for another great chapter in the life of Bangor Community Church. Let's line up. Let's stay. Make sure we're lined up with Him because He will build us. And as long as we follow Him and His Word, okay? The Word of God, the Spirit of God through prayer, He will build it. We cannot miss it. We cannot lose for winning. We will achieve the purpose for which Bangor Community Church was birthed and every local church is birthed if we continue to follow Him. He will build it. Also, it was speaking of a future thing. Jesus started the church at that point, but it's also speaking of a now thing. I will build my church. So this morning, as Bangor Community Church, as part of His worldwide church, we are following a pastor and following leaders and following department heads whose passion it is and following each other, working with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ as we speak the same thing, as we agree the same thing, the Word, as we hear the same thing by the Spirit, and as we go to do the same purpose, we will accomplish. Amen. We will accomplish. So it's so much easier than what we think. Local church should not be difficult or hard in that sense. Only in the sense that we go through trials and tribulations. But in terms of accomplishing our goals, our objectives, and our purpose, it should be crystal clear. It should be easy to follow because Jesus said, I will build it. And He is the great architect. He knows what He's doing. Amen. Next word, build. Again, remember, so we see encapsulated in this sentence everything really we need to know. Offshoots of local church. I will build. I will build my church. And so remember, as Stefan said, their time is short. We've got to be ready. We've got to know that God is building, but there's a fixed time. There's a time limit on the building. This building's not going to go on forever. If we miss the building program, we have missed our opportunity and our rewards. Christ is coming soon. And a very sobering thought is, this is your and my only opportunity before we meet Him face to face to do the things he's called you as an individual and us collectively to do. It's not going on forever and ever. This is a short time event. The Lord is coming soon. If you're not born again this morning, if you do not know that you need to be saved and to know that you're saved, the only one way through the cross of Jesus Christ, by receiving him as Savior and Lord, because he is coming soon. The Bible talks about a rapture, and we believe in the rapture in this church. These are words that we very rarely hear even the local churches preach now. When growing up, we used to hear about the rapture all the time. Who can put their hands up? Especially pre the year 2000. It was almost like that was a landmark in the sand, a mark in the sand, and we were hearing about, we're getting closer, the rapture is soon. The rapture is going to take place. The Bible tells us about the generation, that this generation will not pass away. This will be the generation that will see the rapture, the coming of the Lord in that sense of the rapture. And that began when the nation of Israel was rebirthed, 1947. And the Bible says that a generation, according to Psalms, can be 70 years. We are right on that timeline. So the rapture is coming. Time is short. And we have got building to do. We've still things to do, guys, haven't we? We've so much to do, really. The work will never cease until the Lord returns for his church. That's the rapture. And then when Jesus comes back as the judge of the earth, that is his second appearing. But the rapture, the catching away, the prophetic timeline, we are in a time when that rapture could happen at any time for the church, for the bride, those that are redeemed. So let's live circumspect and realize, okay, on that basis, what am I meant to be doing? What shall I do today? Not out of fear and trembling and judgmentalism, as Robin rightly said this morning, but when we say let a man examine himself, it's simply to make sure, have I drifted, or am I staying on course? Have I got the blueprint, and are we building this wall straight? Or is it going to be like the Leaning Tower of Pisa? If we build the local church and we start to drift, that church will fall and crumble unless it's built constantly on the rock. So this word build, I will build, there's a time scale attached to it. Time is short. When you and I get to heaven, that's where our eternal rewards are going to be. The devil is trying to put our thinking in terms of what our rewards are now. And our eyes, we drift when our eyes get off our eternal rewards and onto our earthly rewards. How can I be, my emotional needs be met? And we're looking at relationship, we're looking at family. And the Bible speaks about those things. It's important to have those things in balance. Those things are right, but in balance, not in drift. We try to meet our financial needs and then work, and these things take over our life. We try to meet these different needs and these different rewards of this, but this world is passing away. There's no permanence attached to it. Even riches will just take wings and fly away, the Bible says, and your whole life's endeavor's gone with it. People are moving out of your life. Things are moving out of your life. It's impermanent. We have got to keep our eyes on the reward as the everlasting eternal reward. And that's what we're building. So we're building for those everlasting rewards. So if time is short and I have a job to do, that whenever I stand in heaven or face to face at the rapture with Jesus, I can say, look at what I've been doing for my eternal rewards. So this is our only opportunity. If you've started, the Bible says, having started well, don't give up. Don't run adrift having begun so well. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. And remember, we are all, pastor himself, myself, all of us, we're in this bracket. Let a man examine, not your brother and sister this morning. Let us look at ourselves. Let a man examine himself. Am I in drift? And every one of us, we're not perfect. Of course there's going to be areas of drift in your life. And that's the point. There's a very positive point there. So therefore, let there be no condemnation this morning for those that are in Christ. Because every one of us have areas of drift, if we're being honest in our life. And that's what the Word does. So it just looks and it gets those areas of our life so we as individuals can keep our lives right and be part then together and keep each other right as a church. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said, and this is Jesus, do not labor for the food that perishes. He said this in John 6:27, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. So our labor should be in building God's kingdom. Amen. That's where our labor is. Don't labor. All of those other things, they have their place. They do. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but they have their place. They should not be your labor, your life's endeavor. Jesus, do not labor for that for food that perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life. Matthew 6:33, we know it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. John 4:32-34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So that's it. There's the great focus in our building together. 1 Peter 2:5, again on building, the Bible describes us as lively stones built together. So you also as living stones. Again, David has a great advantage of it on us with this scripture straight away. But you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So this is not a physical building. Our Bangor Community Church is not this building. And great have been those endeavors. So right at this point, I want to just thank again that great work team that came out yesterday. Because I do believe that, again, yesterday we got so much further than what we expected to accomplish. Even just with the few that came out, what God can do through a group of people that just come out willingly is amazing. And you labored and we went out and there were ones that were painting there, the doorways. Look at this great job that Tash has done on the, isn't the color scheme fantastic of this door in the Carol's office? And we also then went out, we attacked the wilderness out the back there. And let me tell you, we pulled out roots that were trees that were trying to overtake this place. It reminded me of David's mighty men where some of them went into the field and they held that field. Because we worked, didn't we? The men and the women, the boys and the girls, we worked. And look at the accomplishment of our labors. It was awesome. And thank you so much. And next Saturday, we have the same again. We've got another work team. Those that made the breakfast, Carol did an absolutely amazing job, ably assisted by Kyle, Kyle Watson. And we had the full English baps. It was great. Sausages and bacon and scrambled eggs and it was the battle kitchen was set up here. It was awesome. Honestly, it was fantastic. And it's great to be part of a local people because we work together. And we work together in this world. We work together in physical things like buildings because buildings are important. They're important. They're means to an end, but they're not the church. But they're important for ministry. Without this building being completed, for example, we wouldn't be able to run the holiday club. Without this building being completed, we wouldn't be able to gather here and pray together and worship together in that sense. So they're important, but they're not the church. They're not the church. So the church is a spiritual building, remember, made up of the priesthood, those that are born again, offering spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ Jesus. Acts 2:41-47, again, that's where you read about the church functioning again. And it tells what we do. It talks about there's a plurality. You are not the church on your own. Here's another thing about building. Because if the building could exist by one block, if it all takes is one stone to make a building, we wouldn't need each other. But to make a building, we need many stones to come together. So a local church needs you. It's us all together. And without each other functioning together regularly, staying in check together, only then are we becoming that church that Jesus is building. It speaks of plurality, assembling, togetherness, and growth. Daily the Lord added to the church those who are being saved. It speaks of fellowship, of breaking of bread. It speaks of prayer. So it's always, when God's talking about building a church, it always involves building people together, individuals together. So never take an isolationist approach to a local church. Never think, I'm just going to do my thing. It's okay, I'm going to just do this and you guys can do that. Again, there's the drift. There's the Lilo effect. Get the blueprint out. Remember, not my will, but His will be done. Building is being built together. You are a stone, you're a lively stone, and your stone, you as a brick, are so important to this building, as Pastor has told us many times. So it's always talking about a people with a connected purpose. We talk about the church. God says, if my people who are called by my name, not if my person, not if Pastor who is called by my name humbles himself and prays, but if my people, Jesus needs a people to come together. In the Old Testament, we looked at Israel. Israel was a nation built together by God. Jesus formed His disciples. It's always connecting people together. That's what church is. Born again people together. David's army. David could not have done those exploits on his own. Yes, he could kill Goliath. Only through the Holy Spirit, though, and faith. But to accomplish what he needed to do in the nation, he needed a people, an army. Jehoshaphat, that story of Jehoshaphat. Do you remember when three armies were coming against? Well, Jehoshaphat, God spoke to him. He was the king of Israel at that time. It wasn't enough for Jehoshaphat to humble himself and fast and pray and do it on his own, because Jehoshaphat needed all of the people and the Levites and the priests to come and do one thing together. And only then did God create the breakthrough that was necessary. So church, being built together, you are important. We've got to be together in those things. The Lord of hosts, unity and purpose. I will build. Where is it? Back to Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church. So my church. So church, what is church? Come in there very quickly. Hallelujah. Church. This word church, remember, it's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not offices. It's not being busy for the sake of being busy. It's not a denomination. So many organizations, Christian organizations as well, we get busy, 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 busy. But what are we, a church? Does that constitute a church because we're busy? Because we are filling out papers and ticking boxes? A church, the church, this is the definition of what a church is. It's a loving fellowship of faithful believers in Jesus Christ, saved and redeemed by His blood and the work on the cross, and united in common vision, endeavor, and purpose. That is the church. And it comes from the word ecclesia. So this is the word ecclesia, church. Ecclesia. That's the original word. And you know what ecclesia means? It's a compound of two words. Ek means out, and kaleo means called. Called out ones. Ecclesia. That's what that word church means. We are the called out ones. Ek and kaleo. Called out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Called out of this world's value systems. Have I got caught back up again in this world's value systems? Because the church, we're called out of the value systems through salvation and called according to a purpose. Kaleo talks about purpose. And again, in this scripture, we see, I will build my church, and then purpose, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we see purpose. What is the purpose of this, of the church, in this scripture right here? Everything in it. Church called out once for a purpose. Romans 8:28 says that we are called according to His purpose. So as a local church, we have a purpose. That's what we have, a purpose. We're not just an organization. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. I love this scripture too, because the gates of hell. What stood out to me when I was reading this afresh was it's not just one gate. There's not just one gate of hell, but the gates of hell. And I would like to say it this way to you this morning. Every one of us have gates of hell that our life can challenge. There are gates of hell all around you, sweeping people to a lost eternity, trying to change laws, trying to influence school systems. Gates of hell everywhere. And you are there. And we together are there. And as we oppose those gates of hell, we stop them from their purpose, which is to continually oppose the kingdom of God and destroy humanity. There's gates of hell everywhere. You find them addictions. You find them in need. You find them in emotional despair. That's why we should be caring for each other, loving each other, because there are gates of hell everywhere, and those gates of hell will not stop. They will not relent until the Lord comes back and puts all of those things to an end. So there's gates of hell, and I think this is a great inspiration for our purpose as a local church. Because having taken on one gate, and maybe we've taken a gate of hell and we've lifted it off its hinges and we have cast it away and we've destroyed that gate. Well, there are many gates. There's always purpose, always the next thing for us to do. And never, having stood, still stand, the Bible says. Constantly move forward as a church. And the gates of hell are there. This word gates, well, Scripture talks, it represents three things. It means a fortress. First of all, we know that the kingdom of darkness, it's like a fortress. What gates are coming against your life right now? It's not an easy thing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And those things that so easily ensnare you, they're gates of hell. And they so easily ensnare you. They're difficult things. There's a strength attached to them. And the only way that we can properly and effectively destroy them is as the church. You see, as an individual, you are no match for the gates of hell. Because as an individual, you are not the church. And as a local church together, all it takes is a few of us. A local church doesn't mean thousands of people, but praise God if that is the case. It's a grouping of people being built together. And all it takes even is a remnant. And we destroy those gates of hell. So gates of hell talks about attack and defense. No matter what, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. If the gates of hell are coming against us, or if we're coming against it, it will not prevail. The second thing the gates speak of is a place of business. It's a place of government. The Bible talks about the elders at the gate. Deuteronomy 25:7 says, if a man had a problem, he would go to the elders at the gate. So gates, they speak about where they would meet together and they would come up with their plans and their counsels. So the gates of hell also means the enemy's plans and schemes and counsels and evil purposes and plots and decrees. All of those things he's constantly scheming and planning. But the church, all of those schemes, when we stand as a church, they will not come to pass and they will not overcome the church. And the third great thing it represents is imprisonment of people, gates. Gates, they're like the prison gates. Hades, this is talking about Hades. Hades was the place where the lost and the dead went. And Hades is holding people prisoner and taking them to a lost eternity. But praise God, Jesus overcame those gates because he went in and he says, I'm going to go in and even these gates are not going to have any power to hold me, because we know that through the accomplishment of the cross, he rose again and he just burst open those doors. He conquered over sin and death and hell. And also as a church, his church, we conquer over it. So the gates of hell, there's our great purpose and challenge. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in closing, you know, we've seen again a snapshot of the church and what we're meant to be. God has a plan. He's got a blueprint. He's got gifts and callings in your life. And he has purpose for your life. But just to close, I want to remind you that God's plan and his purpose is not automatic in your life. So it's not, you can choose to walk away. You can choose to walk away at any time. You can also drift away without realizing it. Like the Lilo. We have to choose it constantly and stay walking in it. Our values, we've got to always check our value systems and change our life purposes. We've got to honor God and fix a value for his ways. And as John Piper says in his book I was reading recently, it says, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. If you can find that book, read it. It is a great, just, again, just for as a person, as an individual level, what your life is put on this earth for. Don't waste it. And he says, just to sum it up, our life's endeavor is to be glad in God and to make others glad in him. And anything else comes outside of that bracket, you've wasted your life. You've wasted those hours. Don't waste your life. Fix a value on God. Go back to the pattern, which is found in his word. So this is where we find it. The principles of the word frame the local church. So as Bangor Community Church, what are we? And what are we meant to be? 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul's writing to Timothy. This is a great scripture. He says, I write to you. By the way, Timothy was the pastor, maybe you didn't know this, of the largest New Testament church, you know, outside of Jerusalem. Timothy became the pastor of that. 1 Timothy 3:15, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Isn't that awesome scripture? So there's a way that we conduct ourselves if we are really the church and if we haven't drifted and coming back to what we're meant to be doing. It's found in the word. Psalm 119, 161 says, I stand in awe of your word. And if we attach, as we said at the start, opinions of men, even our desires over the word, well, what we're doing then is not church. Because only when we're the blueprint of the word, led by the Spirit, is a church. And the church that follows the word and that pattern cannot fail. Amen. I will build my church. It cannot fail. It is invincible. It will always accomplish. Hallelujah. So God has purpose. 2 Corinthians 10:14 says he's also given us the weapons for that purpose. And the weapons of our warfare, we know that they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the tearing down, for the pulling down of strongholds. And that's what we're called to be, with those mighty weapons. So in closing, just again to give you a snapshot, because we're going to be ministering more into this. Those weapons, our purpose, our ultimate purpose and goal is to extend the kingdom of God according to the Great Commission, to take the gospel of the Lord to every person, to every life around us. That's our goal. That's our one purpose. And to accomplish that purpose, we have been given these pillars, and we find it again that the church in Acts chapter 2, they were following it. Therefore, we need to evangelize. We need to follow the doctrine. We need to stay in the word. We need to stay together in fellowship. And we've spoken into fellowship recently. We need to stay in prayer. Prayer. What about that? That is one of the pillars of the church. Praying together. In fact, here's a challenge again to every church, to every individual. Church becomes before praise. Sorry, prayer comes before praise, comes before worship. You know, in a Sunday morning gathering, this is not church. This is just where we gather together to praise and worship and to receive the word. But you know, you can sit at home and listen to fantastic, better sermons than we can preach here on YouTube. It's all available. That's not the church. This is just an element of what we do, is hearing that word together, praising God together. But the key thing that the church did, and it's the its breakthrough ministry is in prayer. And joining together to pray was the characteristic of church. If my people, we find it all the way through the Word, will humble themselves and pray. Acts chapter 2, he says they were together in the doctrine and fellowship and in prayers. They continued steadfastly together in prayers. It's in the later verses that we go on to read that they were rejoicing and singing and all of those things. So again, if we come to church and we're singing and we're praising, but we're not steadfastly joining together in prayer, then have we drifted from what a local church is? So as we look at that prayer, praise, worship, ministry, missions, making disciples, and growing. My encouragement to you this morning is just as we minister into this, and we're going to be looking now at elevating our Sunday evening services, that is the prayer meeting service, but we want to bring word to that. We want to bring worship to that. We want to bring prayer focus to that, the prophetic to that. These exciting times together. And we are gathering together tonight, and please don't let that be condemnation to you. It's not. Let it be encouragement to you as what church looks like. Church prays together constantly. Amen? And we fulfill our purpose in Jesus' name. So all of these nuggets we're going to be lifting up. I just wanted to give you a snapshot again this morning so that when we're on our lilo together and all of us drift, we can constantly be being brought back to what we're meant to be. The church. People, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.